The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Every once in a while in television or radio or perhaps in any conversation, there's a moment that cuts through. There's just so much authenticity and truth in that moment that everything else falls to the wayside, like edges are shaved off. Disagreement melts away. The sheer truth of the situation, no matter the characters speaking, no matter who's giving you the message, shines through. One of those moments happened today on First Take. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up in this hour, I want to take a look at the running back market. Dalvin Cook might be at risk of going the way of Melvin Gordon, but he might also understand that the exit ramp on the running back highway market is now. Because if he rides his contract out till the end, there is a very competitive marketplace awaiting him. We'll see which running backs are up next year and why Dalvin Cook might want to avoid that market coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. Plus, we just voted Pat's School of Rock last when it comes to school movies, which were our weekend homework. That leaves us still a vote for first. Who will win best school movie? Still on the board: Bubba's Animal House, Mike A's Good Will Hunting, Nuno's Old School, and my Dazed and Confused. In the third hour of the Will Cain Show, we will crown the champion for this week on best school movies. But I want to return to a point I was making just a few moments ago. When it comes to Dabo Swinney, or Drew Brees for that matter, when it comes to what's going on in society, not the very legitimate protest and the very legitimate societal issues that need improvement in this country, which to some extent there is, if not universal, I think a majority of interest and agreement on addressing, not addressing that, but the perversion of that movement, the perversion of that agreement into a cultural inquisition to find anyone, not that said something wrong, but that we can distort into something wrong, is a travesty. And it's a sickness. And it will not only pull down progress on a very legitimate movement, it will pull down this society. I was saying earlier that when you grow up, you're taught platitudes, cliches, truisms like actions speak louder than words. You're told that in the end, the cream rises to the top and there's such thing as karma and it'll all come out in the wash. The point being that you will see a payoff for doing something that is right, for saying something that is right, for believing something is right, for doing the right thing, for standing up when other people fail. But I don't believe that. Slowly over the years, I realized that's not how the world works. It doesn't. You do these things not because they will pay off, but because they are right. You say these things not because you will get high fives, but because they need to be said. And increasingly, what I realize is the only payoff you will ever have is that you will sleep well at night. You will sleep with integrity. Because I am so disappointed, so very disappointed in the pervasiveness of weakness on display right now. Whether or not Drew Brees made a mistake, we can have that debate, but the way that Drew Brees was distorted over 72-hour period into a person who needed to apologize not once, not twice, not three times, but four, I don't know, five, how many times has he apologized, he and his family apologized to this point, is sick. And now it's happening to some extent with Dabo Swinney as well. And it's just going to remind me, first of all, on their behalf, that their actions didn't speak loudly. No one wanted to pay attention to what they did in life. They only wanted to dunk on not their words, but the way we could distort their words into something that resembled a villain so that we could portray ourselves as heroes. And I know there are people out there, I know them, who knew this. Who knew that Drew Brees was not the guy he was being painted as. Who know that Dabo Swinney is not the person he is being portrayed as. And they're giving into weakness. I know it's true. I get the messages. You have to stand up and tell the truth. You have to be strong. Weakness won't be rewarded, I promise you that. It doesn't matter how many apologies you give, it will not save you. You have to be strong. You have to stand up for what's right. You have to say what is true because it is true. You won't be rewarded. You might be vilified, but it won't matter because such is the nature of integrity. You have to be strong because we're run amok with weakness. And it doesn't matter your political backing, and it doesn't matter the issue that you stand on. If you want to protest in the streets, you do it out of strength. You don't do it because everyone else is. And if you want to say, wait, this issue is much more complicated and we need to bear into the details, and I can't just go along with the vilification of another human being whose actions suggest they are not just an acceptable person in this world, but a good person in this world, then you do it because it's right and because you should have the strength of character to do it. I'm just so disappointed that that's such a rarity. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now. Please forgive me for being so adamant and, as I've been told on numerous occasions by management, preachy. I saw this moment on First Take today. It was related to labor. It was related to unions, and it was related to the current controversy in the UFC. Jorge Masvidal, John Jones, and others clamoring for better deals. And that led Dominic Foxworth, who's filling in for Stephen A. Smith this week, to start to address unionization of UFC fighters with the man himself, UFC president Dana White. I have a few minutes. I want you to listen to what is a long cut because I just feel like White rose to the occasion. And you know Dana White and I have had our run-ins. And I like Dominic Foxworth. So this isn't me picking fighters in terms of who the human beings are, but the message here, White was so clear. Listen to this.
John Jones? John Jones just signed a new deal less than a year ago. He's got 8 fights left on his deal. What do you want me to tell you? The guy's got a deal. Same thing with Masvidal. Masvidal just signed a new deal 7 months ago. These guys both have brand new deals that they were more than happy to sign less than a year ago.
Yeah, I think the Masvidal and Jones are interesting cases that I think you'll probably explain away, but my history in labor unions and sports in particular kind of makes me a little biased on this particular side. But if it were just those two guys, then I feel like I could get on board and understand your explanation. And I obviously understand how businesses work, but there's a long history of issues with the labor in UFC not feeling that they are getting just payment or the treatment that they deserve. So can you speak to the long history rather than the specific individuals?
Does anybody feel like they make too much money? Nobody does. These guys just, listen, if we were talking about a thing where, you know, these guys had old contracts from 3 years ago, and it's like, come on, that was 3 years ago that I did this deal. It's real. They signed these less than a year ago.
Right.
This was months ago. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but we're in a pandemic right now, and all the sports are going. Oh, by the way, every other sport out there is arguing over money right now. I haven't laid off one employee. I haven't asked any of my fighters to take less money, and you don't hear me out here crying about, no, I don't get any gates. I don't have this. I don't have – you don't hear me crying about anything. I'm running my business. I'm paying everybody. And right now, if you think it's easy to be a business owner right now, here and today, you are right out of your mind, okay? Because there's never been a harder time to do business than right now. Guess what? I'm pulling it off.
Well, you can't say you're not crying anymore. You just said it's a hard time for business owners, but I do think that it's important to understand
that there's
different
leverage. Is that me crying? I was just explaining to you.
The point I'm making is
he's right there, Bubba.
All right,
I think that's fascinating. That's not crying. He's exactly right to push back right there. Explaining the current business climate doesn't add up to crying. And White's making two very important points. Masvidal and Jones's deals signed with UFC are months old, less than a year old, and now in the middle of a pandemic with gate receipts virtually non-existent, you're a bad guy for not renegotiating? Keep going, Bubba.
All right, the leverage is different. So, like, saying that they just signed contracts doesn't speak to the leverage that they have in negotiation. Just because they signed contracts doesn't necessarily mean that the contracts are fair. I'm not informed enough to know whether contracts are fair or not, but I understand that when there's a track record
Pause it one more
of
time,
a number
Bubba.
Of...
Now, this is a good point by Dominique. Contracts are not written in stone like the Ten Commandments. Contracts can be broken, and if a contract is not equitable, you can go back to the negotiating table. That's a good point by Dominique. But now, Dana returns to the idea, you just signed them. Listen.
I'm not informed enough to know whether contracts are fair or not, but I understand that when there's a track record of a number of athletes over a period of time having an issue with someone or a company, then that seems like a group that needs unionization in order to have the leverage to get the things that they want. I know Molly has a question for you, but that wasn't a question. I was just kind of making a
oh,
point.
Oh, no, no. I want you again. Welcome to the fight business, my friend. And so right now we're in a pandemic and all this stuff is going on. Do you see me trying? We just signed a contract 8 months ago. You see me saying, oh, no, no, this is going on and that's going on. I have to pay you less money. Let's talk. No, I'm paying them exactly the same amount of money, no matter what's going on. In the history of this company, I've never asked a fighter to go backwards ever.
I mean, that you could argue that suggests that maybe they weren't making enough if their pay is not an issue. But I'm not saying that you're having trouble, that we should applaud you. We should certainly applaud you for keeping your business running and not letting any people down. I certainly wasn't looking to fight you like Dan Le Batard. I'm not looking to fight you at all. I'm just bringing up the idea that there's another perspective that that makes perfect sense to me. Given my background, I understand how difficult it is to run a business right now. So we applaud you for all that. We applaud you for not taking their money down. But just because you're not doing anything bad doesn't mean that the situation is fair for them. And again, I'm not trying to be confrontational because I don't know the ins and outs of this business, but I do know the ins and outs of sports labor. And I know that when you have a bunch of angry, upset athletes, there's normally a reason why they should be angry and upset. So I was just speaking to that.
Well, again, I have 630 fighters under contract, and we're talking about two.
630 fighters under contract, we're talking about two. It's not about bad or good on whether or not somebody's pay is reduced during a pandemic, like Dominique suggested. It's about whether or not you'll renegotiate in the middle of a pandemic makes you bad or good. Dana White is suggesting, I have kept my business running through a pandemic to the best that I could, and I signed contracts with two guys in particular within the past year. I'm not prepared to renegotiate to raise their pay in the middle of an economic crisis, but I'm also not going to dock their pay. I thought that was just cutting absolutely through everything. I thought Dana White laid out what it is to run a business today very clearly. And I'm no Dana White defender. Coming up, let's run all this by ESPN's UFC and MMA reporter Ariel Helwani next on The Will Cain Show.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Did I love Dana White's appearance on First Take a little too much? Let's find out. Here on The Will Cain Show with Ariel Helwani, ESPN's MMA reporter, host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show. He's now on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. What's up, Ariel?
How are you, Will? Everything good?
It is, man. I really thought Dana, and by the way, I think you and I've talked about this, I had a run-in with Dana once, and by the way, since then we have talked, and I don't know, does anybody ever really make up with Dana? It's always capable of becoming antagonistic, and I'm here for that, whatever. So this isn't a personal thing. I just thought he cut through today in talking about what it is to run a business through a pandemic and why he feels like now is not the time for John Jones and Jorge Masvidal to renegotiate their contracts. What did you think of that? What did you wish would have been said or asked, or what Dana would have been pressed on?
Well, I thought Dominique did a great job of pressing him because a lot of us in the MMA media know about these issues. However, for one reason or another, you know, we can't ask them all the time. For example, I haven't had a chance to talk to Dana in about 4 years now, a little over 4 years. And so I thought he did a great job. You know, unfortunately, as he admitted, he wasn't as well versed, but he knew enough, you know, to really, you know, get Dana going. The thing is, I understand where Dana is coming from. I understand that it's hard to run a business in the pandemic, but what Dominique was asking him was not just running a business in the pandemic, running a fight business in the pandemic. He was asking about the entire business, right? Like since, you know, 2000 when they bought the company with the Fertitta brothers. And there's a lot to be asked there. There's a lot of meat on that bone. There's a lot of questions that I think are very valid questions. And so Dana kept bringing it back to today. And I think Dominique was trying to get him to talk about, you know, the entire picture, the 12 to 18% that the fighters make as opposed to the 50%, the fact that there's no revenue sharing, there's no collective bargaining, the fact that they can't get their own sponsors in the cage, the fact that they have to do 24/7, 365 drug testing, the fact that if they sign a 6-fight deal and you have one bad fight, you could get cut. However, if you have one good fight, in that 6-fight, you can't just go walk and fight for someone else. The fact that they're called independent contractors, but they're really not treated like independent contractors. There's a lot there. There's a lot going on. And so it was good. It was short. But, you know, it's good that more people are talking about this now because in the sport, we've been talking about it for a long time.
That's really good insight and background from Errol Hawani here on the Will Cain Show. We're going to talk about Fight Island in just a moment. But let me ask you about this. A lot of the things you just mentioned, 12 to 15% instead of 50%, the fact that you can be cut if you have a bad fight in the middle of a 6-fight deal, but you don't get to renegotiate. Those are all contractual issues, which I would suspect Dana's response to that would be you can negotiate a different contract, to which I would think you would say, well, you don't have the power without a union. And to which Dana would then say, unionize if you want to. It seems to me where a lot of this falls short for the fighters' leverage and their ability to win this argument is there's no real, I mean, you could tell me about how big a threat Bellator or somebody else is. There's no real other place to go.
Yeah, and free agency started to become a thing around 4 years ago, and Bellator is owned by Viacom, so they are out there, and there's other organizations in Asia, overseas, but nowhere near as big as the UFC. I do feel, though, and we saw John Jones say it recently, we saw Jorge Masvidal say it recently, and Conor has hinted at it as well, the allure as you move on in your career of just saying, I'm a UFC fighter, rubs off when you start to realize, hey, wait a second, maybe I'm not making as much as I should be making. And oh, by the way, these other guys, these other organizations are overpaying for guys who aren't even as good as me just so that they can try to get somewhere near the UFC, right? Their stranglehold on the business. So I think, like, for example, if they release John Jones today, I think he would go sign with someone else and he would make a lot of money doing so and maybe even make more money than he's making in the UFC. There are some guys out there that these other organizations are going to break the bank for.
Hey, Errol, real quick on that. If I'm Dana White, I would say, why didn't you do that 7 months ago when we signed a new deal?
You see, but that's the problem because he wasn't a free agent 7 months ago. This is the issue. So, okay, this is how the system is broken. I have a 6-fight deal, right? I'll sign the 6-fight deal today because I want the next fight. I want the first fight on the 6-fight deal. If I'm John Jones, I want the first fight of the 6-fight deal to get me X amount of dollars. That fight's over. I win. All right, now you're offering me Joe Schmo at Madison Square Garden. All right, well, now I want more money because I just won my last fight and I'm on a 9-year winning streak. Okay, we'll give you more money, says the UFC. But we're now tacking on more fights. So now we're extending it. So the clock now starts at zero again. So John Jones has never been a free agent. Conor McGregor has never been a free agent because every time they, quote unquote, renegotiate, they tack on more fights. The goalposts continue to move. So you could say, all right, why don't you just fight out the contract? Well, it's hard to do that for these fighters because then they're seeing like, man, I didn't sign a good deal there. You know, 6 years ago, I'm stuck with this thing. The deal is not a term deal, right? So it doesn't expire. You can't sit out and the thing will just expire like in the NBA. You got those 7 fights, those will last in perpetuity. So you kind of have to either fight or, you know, you're going to try to renegotiate. But every time you renegotiate, more fights get added to it.
So I get that you part. But you can't just fight out your contract either, like you said. Instead of renegotiating, fight out your contract and then try to hit free agency. You can't do that?
Well, so let's say you decide to do that. Number one, most of them will feel like in the midst of that, especially if they're winning the entire time, that now, you know, they're really giving the UFC a bargain. And the other thing is, if you're a champion, if you're holding a belt like John Jones is, there's a champions clause. You can't walk away. You can't become a free agent. If you fight the last fight of your deal, see how everything is weighted in favor of the promoter? If you fight the last fight of your deal with the belt, which they would never allow happen because their biggest fear would be someone walk away with the belt. You know, you were talking about pro wrestling with me a few months ago.
Yeah.
There was once a very famous case of a wrestler named Alundra Blaze, who was the WWF champion, who showed up on WCW Nitro mm-hmm. and took the belt and put it in the garbage can. And that's horrible.
That story.
So
yeah.
It gets extended if you're the champion. So if you are the big dog champ, you can never be free because there's a thing called the champions clause in the contract. Now we could talk about reforming all of that, but that's a big undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Ariel Helwani here on the Will Cain Show. That's really good background, Ariel. What can you tell me about Fight Island? That's the big announcement that Dana went on First Take to talk about today.
Yeah, so that's happening July 11th, July 15th, 18th, and 25th. It's going to be in Abu Dhabi at Yaz Island. The first show is UFC 251, three title fights on this card, and it's a solid card, you know, some big names on it. It's great for the UFC because they've been doing shows. They're about to do their sixth this weekend, but they don't have international fighters at their disposal, so they had to find this place somewhere overseas to do these events, so now they can get fighters from Australia and Thailand, all these other places, Brazil, to come fight on these cards because they were starting to run out of options because, you know, you can only fight the American-based fighters so often. It's not, you know, I think that the idea of Fight Island kind of got a little crazy and everyone had these grandiose dreams of it being on a beach with the waves crashing and the palm trees and all this stuff. It's not really that. I've been to Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi. I was there in 2010 for UFC 112. It's in the middle of the desert. It's very sweaty. It's very hot. There aren't any palm trees. There's no bikinis. There's none of that stuff that everyone thought that they were going to see on Fight Island.
Caribbean. So yes.
It's a little different. Yes, it's a little different, but kudos to them for getting it done.
All right. Ariel Helwani, ESPN MMA reporter and host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show here on The Will Cain Show. Always good to talk to you, Ariel. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate
it. Take care. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. I went off on Dabo a little bit earlier in the show several times. Now I want to take your call. Open forum. What am I getting wrong or what am I missing? And everything I've had to say. It's 888-729-3776. Your call's next on The Will Cain Show.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
To me, just Black Lives Matter is kind of like, hey, we matter too. I think Black Lives significantly and equally matter.
I think Dabo put that on having no idea in any way that somebody could be offended by that. And for the years that this Black Lives Matter slogan has been around, to not be able to connect those dots is the problem there.
Any insinuation that I was trying to mock Black Lives Matter movement is just an attack on my character.
You know, yesterday I think we had an honest conversation about what it means to support Black Lives Matter, the slogan, what you're signing up for. What is it that you are becoming a part of? I think for many, it's just a rejection of racism. But then that implies if you have any questions about agendas or platforms or any angle of potential disagreement, well, you must be a racist. And the game goes on from Drew Brees to Dabo Swinney, and I don't understand it. And I'm sickened by those who take turns trying to be the next to condemn without looking into issues at all in an act of self-preservation. I'm good. Don't hurt me. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Have some strength to stand up and say what you think is right. If you missed any of our long-form interviews, go check them all out on demand, the Will Cain Podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you're on unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? Let's go to the open forum on the phone lines where we have Marcus in New Jersey. What's up, Marcus?
How you doing there, Will?
Hey, man.
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Mark?
I got you. Yeah.
Not bad. Hey, listen, I just wanted to let you know. I've been listening to you a little while on First Take. And saying I'm an Eagle fan, listen to how much you love your Cowboys. There was many disagreements that you had no idea about. But after being able to listen to you on the radio the last couple of weeks, man, I'm sad to see you go. But at the same time, the voice of reason that you were able to bring at sometimes because I don't think we live in an absolution, but right now it's easy to see what is wrong with a lot of the situation that happened, unfortunately, with George Floyd. But the absolution that if you don't agree completely or walk, like you said, a lockstep with what's being said out or agree with a particular stance by a politician or a news channel or something, that, or you have your own opinion, that you in turn are now wrong. And that part is what I definitely agree 100%. Whether it's a white person making a comment about it or whether it's a black person maybe not being all the way in with everything that, you know, it has been done so far. Whether it's the riots that go along with the peaceful protests, how you feel about the flag or not. And just, you know, like you said earlier about, you know, Dabo and his faith, you know, how they to pick apart piece by piece what someone is saying, what someone is wearing, to believe that the absolution is that they must be bad now. They have to not be who they say they were. And we're always trying to, you know, pull at something. And when you get to these pedestals, man, people are always trying to pull you down. They say the crab in the basket situation. You know, I don't know him personally, Dabo that is, but just listening to him speak about other issues, how he talks with his players, how they love him, and then having these things trying to pull at him and Drew Brees and other individuals. Right. It's hard, man. It's hard.
You can hear the players say that too. They all talk about how much they love him. I appreciate the call, Marcus. You know what's interesting about what you said as well is it's a complete rejection of the individual. Black, white, doesn't matter. You can't have your individual thoughts. You have to adhere to the herd thought. You got to be 100% lockstep in. You have to be denying the individual. And isn't that an odd cure for the group mentality that is racism? Racism is the denial of the individual, and yet we think the pursuit out of that requires us to deny the individual. Sick. Nate in Louisiana, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Yes. I want to say one thing. First off, I'm a fan of the show, so I'll get that out of the way.
Now, thank you.
After that, I'm going to keep it all the way honest with you. I got three things. One thing. Why is it a problem when people have an opinion about your opinion? Nobody is mad about Drew Brees or Dabo having an opinion. You can have your opinion. But why is this such a defense mode, a defense mechanism when people have an opinion about your opinion? I thought we was American. Okay.
Nate, I want to go through them one at a time. I want to go through them one at a time, okay? I think the issue is the distortion of others' opinions and twisting them into something that they are not and the conclusions which are unfairly earned then. You see, I mean, look, do I think that everybody that criticized Drew Brees ended up in the place that he is a racist? No, but I think the underlying implication for many was that he was, or that he wasn't an ally, or, and this is the most benign form of it that's the most common right now, you're part of the problem. And that's the same thing with Dabo. So I think it's a fair point. If you have an opinion, and look, Nate, you're listening to the Will Cain Show. You know this is true. I'm totally open to you telling me I'm wrong. But I'm not open to you calling in, not you, Nate, the proverbial you, you calling in and distorting my opinion so that you can arrive at the conclusion you want to, which is Will's a bad person. There's a difference between disagreement and distortion so that you can be the hero that you think that you are by finding other villains. That's my thing. What's number two, Nate?
Definitely. But, so in the second one, it's kind of tied that to the first one. The tone deafness, which is what Dabo and Drew coincides with me. If you know the plight of America has been going on for the last, four, 5 years, for as a black American, this been going on, but to the masses, we'll say 4 or 5 years out, finally getting to see it. If you know that's the plight of what's going on, why is you steady talking about I'm kneeling for the flag and for the country and I don't do, when you know that's what people have constantly been telling y'all, that's not what it's about.
Hey,
now, hold on, Will, before you respond, didn't you just say, you just got to go off the phone, you just got to telling me you hate when people twist their words around.
Right.
So why are they still twisting the message around when they clearly know that's not what the message is about? So
hold on, sir,
before you respond, I let you respond. One, that's willfully being ignorant. Two, you're just being tone deaf. And if you're not being tone deaf and you just don't care about the plight, why are you mad that people feel that you're racist? Because we can be friends and disagree on a lot of things. We can't disagree on race.
Hey, I'm working through all 3 points with you. If I hurry you along, it's just because I have a commercial break I have to pay attention to, okay? So on number two, I would say this. First, on Dabo, if we're talking about the Football Matter shirt, I'm just not here for it. I'm not here about that being tone deaf. He wasn't trying to send a message. It's a shirt he always wears, and he was doing it in private on his way to the pool. He wasn't doing it as a rebuttal. So this tone deaf thing becomes a sort of backwards, a back door into the criticism we want to get at. Now, back to Drew and Kaepernick. All right. You're saying we're twisting, and I just said I don't want my position twisted. And many feel like Cap's position got twisted, okay? I would say twofold on this. Number one, when you're dealing with a symbol that's near and dear to the heart like the American flag, you're going to have different interpretations. Those interpretations allow us to understand, hey, Cap means something different or sees something that you do, but you have to understand it in reverse as well, right? It's just a meaningful thing, and people are going to have a hard time. This is just a big one. We're not going to be able to cross it very well. It's just going to be a hard time. I want to say one last thing on that one, Nate. I do have serious questions about everything that Kaepernick meant. Okay? He said America's a racist country. He said a lot of things that are broad indictments of the country. So I want to be clear when he kneels in front of the flag. Are you specific just about police brutality, or is it a broad indictment of the entire country? Because I do have a problem with that. Now, Nate, I'm running late, but I still want to hear number three.
All right. And just the third thing, when I was speaking tone deaf for as Dabo, I wasn't really speaking for as the shirt matter. I was speaking for as the whole 14 minutes of the thing, because I sat there and watched it. And when I was sitting up there picking up from him, it seemed like his mentality is that black people should be more grateful to the country because we had a black president. We have black artists or black few celebrities or whatever. And I'm like, that's misguided concept, and I don't...
Wait, but Nate, I watched it too, all 14 minutes, and I don't remember anything about celebrities or Obama. I don't remember any of that.
Because I'm sitting up there like, what is Dabo talking about? Like, in the last point, when you say it's a context for somebody to say the N-word as a black person, I don't agree with it. Like, I don't agree with that. Like, it's
Hold on. Let me ask you a simple question. If you heard somebody call you or one of your friends an N-word, would that be different or important distinction? Not excusing either. Let's just underline, highlight, and repeat that. Not excusing either. But would it be different than if he repeated it back to you saying, we don't say that here?
I think I kind of agree with you on that. Agree with you on that.
And we're going to underline, highlight, and repeat. It's never okay.
When you lead it that way. But I don't agree with it either way. Like,
of course.
Even if I was saying it, I don't think you need to be saying that back to me.
Of course. And by the way, you saw the 14-minute video.
And I respect you, sir, before we leave. And I don't, and just as a white man, to a white man, I don't ever think no white man should ever tell a black man how to use that word. I'm just sorry.
I think that's a fair point. Nate, I think it's a fair point. I do. I appreciate the back and forth. I do. And I think it's worth underlining, highlighting, repeating again. Nobody says it's ever okay. But I think we can all see there are different contexts, and it's worth understanding exactly how something was said. All right, I appreciate that back and forth. Coming up, let's talk about Dalvin Cook's contract situation. What kind of market might he be trying to avoid? That's coming up on The Will Cain Show. Napa
Know-How. Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook will no longer participate in any team-related activities until unless he receives, quote, a reasonable deal.
Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the league, wants to get paid like one of the best running backs in the league.
He's out. Without a reasonable extension, he will not be showing up for camp or beyond.
History and the data and analytics has worked against running backs.
Dalvin Cook, ready to exert his muscle in the running back market. I have a short segment here. Not much time to get to the running back market and lay out what awaits Dalvin Cook. I'll tell you what, I'm going to lay that out in the third hour of the Will Cain Show, along with my top five running back rankings. Hang in on the Will Cain Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's use the few moments we have here to keep talking on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I'm going to hear from a few of you, like Aaron in Michigan. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Will, man. Can you hear me?
I got you, bud.
Awesome. I talked to Fitz, I talked to Gojo, but you are the realest and coolest dude I've ever talked to. I'm glad to be on live with you.
Thank you.
First, real quick, Do you have a website where I can check out your draft weekend homework picks? I listen all the time, but I keep missing the end.
I'll tell you what, man. I will try to put those up more diligently on my Twitter feed at Will Cain.
We tweet them on the show account.
And we put them on the show account, the Will Cain Show, which I'll retweet. Or I'll try to put them on my Instagram as well at C Will Cain on Instagram. I'll try to put those up and be better about that, Aaron.
I just wrote that down. I'm going to open a Twitter account today. Will, I got to cut to the chase. P.I. and all his boys, they're kind of mad at you because every time they call in and try to talk to you, you want to talk about numbers. You want to talk about percentages. They just want to be heard. They want to talk about answers. It's not semantics, bro.
Well, Aaron, I don't mean to be direct, and I'm not going to try to distort you, but like even when you say P.I. and all his boys, I don't really think you're perhaps as woke as you might think you are. It ain't the way to do this. It ain't to put everybody in groups and assume they all have the same kind of opinions. That ain't it. It's just not it, Aaron. I'm not going to try to dunk on you because I think everybody has, you know, at times artful and inartful ways of saying it. But I hear the point you're trying to make to me. And I have been someone over the last couple of weeks who is, I would say almost exclusively, at least on sports radio, said, what's the solution? Let's push towards the solution. So don't say that I'm obfuscating by talking about stats or anything like that. I appreciate the call. I am using stats or facts and disagreement to push towards a solution when I think everybody else is giving you that little white noise fuzz back of the brain endorphin of hollow, vacant disagreement. I gotta tell you, Aaron, you got plenty of choices for that. And it's the road to nowhere. But you'll get a lot of it on air. Do I want to go one more, Mike A? What do I have here? Is this something that I should take as well?
No, sir.
Okay, if you missed any of our show on our long-form interviews, go check out the on-demand. Check them out on-demand, the Will Cain Podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? Coming up, I will discuss Dabo a little more openly with somebody that covers the Clemson Tigers. We will vote on the best movie of our weekend homework, which was School Movies, still in the running, Animal House, Old School, Dazed and Confused, and Good Will Hunting. School of Rock got last. So we'll vote on best movie coming up, and I will lay out the running back market for Dalvin Cook. What awaits him? What's the competition? Who will be a free agent next year? Maybe, just maybe, Cook isn't wrong to try to look to get paid now before a year where the salary cap will be reduced because of the coronavirus pandemic and something like 5 to 10 good running backs will be on the market. Plus, we rank running backs. That's all coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.